Helen Avakian over there and David Irwin, who are going to be giving us our service as we go along. Anyway, I'd like to welcome you. Good morning and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Mary Mullen. And Prairie, as you know, aspires to be an open-hearted and an open-minded congregation. And we welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, your sexual orientation, your gender, or your family structure. And we welcome you no matter what your age is, what your abilities are, or even your inabilities. And as you know, on Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services. They're presented either by a Prairie member, by our minister, Sandra Ingham, or by someone from the wider community, and this is someone from the wider community today. Let's see, this morning's offering will be shared with Access Community Health Centers in Madison and Sun Prairie, and you can read more about it in the right-hand column of your order of service. Kathy Converse is going to read our opening words.
Come into the circle of love and justice. Come into the community of mercy, holiness, and health. Come and you shall know peace and joy. Adapted from Israel Zangwill.
Thank you, everyone. I've asked Dirk and Susan Herrhoyman to do our chalice lighting today.
May the light we now kindle inspire us to use our powers to heal and not to harm, to help and not to hinder, to bless and not to curse, to serve you, Spirit of Freedom.
Well, at this time I would like to introduce our singers and speakers. Those of you who have been around for Prairie for several years may have already seen them three times. I have. I invited them to play at Make Music Madison 2 years ago and then last year, and then they were here with Jim Scott just a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And so here they are again today. Helen, I'd like to introduce first Helen Avakian. She's an award-winning singer, songwriter, and guitarist, lives here in Madison. And in September 2014, she won the International Fingerstyle Guitar Championship, and she was the first female to win that. She's also been voted the number one favorite acoustic act four times by Rhythm and News magazine, and she's won quite a few songwriting awards, including seven first prizes from the New Songs Contest at the Walnut Valley Festival in Kansas. And she also teaches guitar, she says, to all ages and any level. So if you want to learn how to play like she does, take some lessons. Dave Irwin is a longtime popular guitarist, also in Madison here. He specializes in fingerstyle, Brazilian, and jazz guitar styles. And he's performed his solo guitar arrangement of the national anthem on ESPN, also at the Kohl Center for the Badgers games, and also the World Olympic style wrestling competition, Team USA. So the two of them are going to do a service for us called As the Pendulum Swings. Welcome them, please.
We are humbly honored to be invited to speak and perform here today. We perform frequently in a variety of venues locally and while on the road. It includes playing for many churches in several communities in various states this side of the Mississippi. This is our first time presenting an entire service. We're accustomed to being in front of a microphone as singers, but we are by no means professional speakers. I'm probably going to have to stick to the script here, but so we're a little bit nervous about writing a talk and presenting it. So while I'm standing in the lobby, the first gentleman that I meet, you probably all know him, I say, oh, so what do you do? And he goes, well, I'm a college professor in public speaking. So then the next gentleman I hear from, well, I'm an actor. Okay. I'm just gonna have somebody come up and read my. So, nor are we professional writers. We wrote a lot of material, which we had to throw in the trash before we finally came up with something. But we really grew to appreciate the huge amount of work required to just make one presentation. We found this opportunity to be a unique chance to put our creative skills towards a different goal, a bit outside of our comfort zone, actually quite a bit outside. But we've enjoyed the process. Hopefully we've put together a presentation that is worthy of this group's time and attention. We've come to value and appreciate the many leaders of the churches we have had the privilege to see in action, both here in Madison and on our travels. These leaders, ministers, chaplains, preachers, and volunteers, we have found to be informed, thoughtful, and articulate good people, and they play an essential and vital part in supporting their communities. The cultural richness and quiet strength of this country is exemplified by these many congregations that gather throughout the country each Sunday, and by each group's continued activities, helping their communities however they can throughout each week. We've learned these congregations are filled with wonderful, talented, and thoughtful people with a wide variety of backgrounds from all walks of life, all coming together under one roof. It's inspiring and comforting to witness people with such diversity engaged in their community as citizens of faith, and to see people committed to creating a stronger, more connected society. We can all rest assured from what we've observed that there's much to appreciate, to be thankful for, and hopeful about. The topic we chose to explore today comes in the form of a question. As the pendulum swings, what is the new normal? New normal? Is there a new normal? To understand that, we begin with, what is normal? Now, that could be a long discussion, so we narrowed it down to normal as applied to the concept of the human condition. In our attempt to develop a presentation, we wanted to explore normal, and then, as your guest musicians, consider how some of our music and musical experiences might apply to the normal human condition. The dictionary reads, normal is a standard, the usual, the regular, the consistent. That's one aspect of normal. It's something we perceive in our lives as regular and consistent. For most of us, the human conditions we experience on a daily basis, as we travel from home to work, school, and the related quality of our lives feels predictable, routine. Our lives unfold as part of our normal experience. There's another contrasting aspect to normal to consider. It has been said that the only thing that does not change is change itself. If that's true, then normal, as consistent as it may appear to be at any given time, is also subject to change. We all know, in fact, that this is true. As we progress through our lives, we all have experienced many changes over time. Our normal daily routines and experiences change as we develop and grow. In fact, our ability to adapt, to embrace changes, and incorporate the new is one of our strengths as individuals and as a society. We view change as an opportunity to grow and further our human condition. For example, we see normal changing. It's apparent through the rapid advancements of technology and the digitalization. I thought I would not be able to say that in public, digitalization, of every facet of human interactions. They impact the norm for the human condition on an ever more frequent basis. So we're used to change. We're accustomed to learning how to deal with a world where normal is a fluid concept. But why then is it that we've heard the phrase commonly uttered in dismay these last few months, this is not normal? We believe that, at least in our free democratic society, our human condition is a reflection of our fundamental ideals. The human conditions in this country prevail because our forefathers enshrined a commitment to human rights. We examine the seven principles of the Unitarian Universalist Church, and we found contained within these principles many of the ideals of a free democratic society. We saw dignity, encouragement, peace, justice, spiritual growth, liberty, compassion, truth, acceptance, the democratic process. So in our topic, we talk about the pendulum swinging. To first understand, we need to know where we've been, and then we can look at where we might be headed. I've been a scientist my whole life, so the first thing I want to do is, well, how could we measure normal? How could we measure the human condition? So I don't know. I'm not a social scientist, but...
He's a chemist.
But I thought maybe, for example, you could take a poll, but you could take each one of these ideals, and you could ask somebody, on a scale of 0 to 10, a number to each one of these, depending on how that ideal you feel is expressed in the human conditions in which you live. And if you gave that to 1,000 people and you took the average of that, you might have a good idea of kind of the human conditions that exist in the community at a given time. So that was my idea of how to measure what normal is. So although we're used to a changing normal, it seems that people are feeling alarmed and worried because a lot of change has appeared on our country's horizon in a very short amount of time. This sudden change in normal has had a palpable effect on many people. Sudden change can be like being in a room with a lot of mechanicals, like fans and refrigerators, and let's say suddenly the power goes off. You really notice not the background noise, but its cessation. The silence, you can hear the pounding of silence. And you notice immediately that's not normal. A sudden loss of normal can easily instill a sense of panic. Oh, my steak is going to rot. It motivates you when you have that sudden sense of change in normal. It can be a call to action. And why is that? I mentioned the use of the phrase, this is not normal. I think what people are feeling is not a direct attack on the quality of our lives yet, but we see sort of some dark clouds forming. What we see for now, I think, is an assault on our ideals, especially truth in particular seems to be taking a great beating. But what I would point out is that why are you feeling this angst and this anxiety? Is that if you think about the quality of your life as being expressed through these ideals, if you think about the numerical score, you can look and see that scientists. So I don't know what the quality, I graphed the score versus the quality of life, the human condition. And you can see that if you have a higher score, two human conditions that I know exist in this world. One that would have a score of 0, I would think, would be slavery. Right in the neighborhood would be an authoritarian or totalitarian, maybe fascist regime. And at this end, I don't know if society's ever seen a score of 100, but maybe that's utopia, where every day you experience bliss and nirvana.
And freedom.
So you can see that if your score goes down, the quality of your life goes down. And so I think an attack on your ideals, you can see, is a direct reflection in a lowering of the quality of the human condition. And of course, that should send us into a state of anxiety, I would think. Let's see if I can find myself now in my notes. So I say, an assault on our ideals is an assault on the quality of our lives. We see an oncoming attempt to diminish the human condition in this country. And there's nothing great about that. Often, artists and musicians play a vital part in the normal human condition. Sometimes they can see ahead and predict, like sometimes, for example, they might notice that the wires are dangling outside of that room with the mechanicals, and they might write a song saying, hey, look out, your power is going to go out. So they can sort of send a message ahead of the time sometimes. Some musicians can also simply entertain, supply comfort, and also inspire, provide a sense of connection between people. And sometimes, as with Pete Seeger, they can motivate people to action and make a change in the world and create a better normal with better human conditions. So having said all of that, we're going to try to do a couple of songs that we think relate to the normal human condition. And Helen's going to talk about that a little bit.
So I thought the first thing I'd do is do a song that is on the not so happy slavery, not as bad as that, but pretty bad side of the graph. And then after that, we'll do a song that is on much more toward the utopian, happy, free side. So I wrote the song Drifting Days that we're about to play after I read this book called Life and Death in Shanghai by Nian Cheng. Has anyone read this book? That is so cool. All right. Of course, I would find someone here. That make two of you. That is, I love it. I love Madison. I love the Unitarian Church.
She came to Madison.
Did you see her? Oh, that is awesome. All right, we have to talk after. Anyway, I could talk on and on about Nian Cheng. She's very, very inspiring to me. And this book, Life and Death in Shanghai, is her autobiographical account of her experience during the Chinese Cultural Revolution. And in 1966, when the book begins, it had become increasingly common for people who would normally be considered highly valuable contributors to society, people like doctors, diplomats, educators. Instead, they were accused of being subversive by Mao Zedong's communist government. They were often removed from their jobs and sometimes even thrown in jail. Nian Cheng suffered that fate. She was imprisoned in solitary confinement for over 6 years. Yeah. Put in a filthy cell, no heat in the winter, even today, I don't know how long I could stand that. And there was nothing for her to do except read Mao's famous Little Red Book, no recourse to a lawyer, any sort of help or communication with the outside world. The food was barely adequate for survival, and of course her health suffered terribly. She was in her late 50s, early 60s. Yeah. Her only human contact, aside from when food was brought to her, was when she was occasionally interrogated in order to confess to her crimes. And despite extreme coercion and even periods of torture, Nian Cheng refused to confess to any crime. She hadn't committed any. But still, under such pressure, I don't know how long I could hold up. I don't know. Anyway, she, instead of confessing to anything, instead she demanded to see proof of any crime she'd committed. Proof of which, kind of like Donald Trump's tax returns right now, was never forthcoming. So, having grown up here in the United States as a fortunate middle-class white person, reading Life and Death in Shanghai was a total eye-opener for me. And it's a harrowing account of what it's like to completely unjustly lose one's freedom and trust for one's government, the media, and society at large. And it seems unthinkable that such a thing could ever happen here. But of course, history shows that within all of our lifetimes, or our parents' or our grandparents' lifetimes, so, you know, somewhere in our immediate past, if not present, highly civilized countries have sometimes shockingly descended into such a state as China. Nian Cheng's story serves as an important and sobering reminder of that reality. And that said, there's also to me, though, a very inspiring message to be gained, because through all the hardships she endured, Nian Cheng kept her dignity and her integrity and compassion. And that compassion and understanding extended even to her prison guards and her interrogators. She did her best to adapt to her new normal and to improve her less than desirable environment as much as she could within her power and means. And she made sure to stay clean as possible, exercise her body and mind. And being an active Christian, she prayed a lot, and she said talking to God helped her feel less alone. And she also focused on anything positive in her environment. And one day she noticed a little spider had come into her cell and was building a web, so I'm going to just read you part of that. I had just watched an architectural feat by an extremely skilled artist. I knew I had witnessed something that was extraordinarily beautiful and uplifting. A miracle of life had been shown to me. And she took this as a sign from God. I became very attached to the little creature after watching its activities and gaining an understanding of its habits. First thing in the morning, throughout the day, and last thing at night, I would look at it and feel reassured when I saw it was still there. The tiny spider became my companion. My spirits lightened. The depressing feeling of complete isolation was broken by having another living thing near me, even though it was so tiny and incapable of response. I wish I had time to read you the entire passage, which I find so moving and beautifully written, but suffice to say, I highly recommend her book, and here's our song now of Told from the Prisoner Looking at the Spider.
free. Little remains of the life I made, you bring me hope in this gray place of dirt and bars and the guards lost a face. We cannot speak, but you're a friend to me. Don't know I exist, yet you keep me company as we measure the drifting days by the sun's slow shifting rays. I admire how you weave a perfect tapestry. Sit for endless hours patiently. You may be small, but you're tricky, trapping prey twice your size with thread thin and sticky. We cannot speak, but you're a friend to me. You don't know I exist, yet you keep me company as we measure the drifting.
Happy story is that Nian Cheng did eventually get released, and she was able to make her way to the United States, where she lived the rest of her life. And friends of hers encouraged her to write her memoir, and she did. And her, to her astonishment, her memoir became a bestseller in 1987. And she toured the world as a lecturer when she herself was in her late 80s and early 90s. Yeah, and I happened to find her book in my local library, and I read it, and I wrote the song, and then I wanted to record it on my CD, Vanishing Point, so I wrote to her publisher to ask permission, and eventually received a handwritten letter from Nian Cheng herself. Yes, it was an amazing moment. And she gave me her blessing to record the song, and then she said she'd like to meet me. So, yeah, I got to go. I went to Washington, D.C. and met her in her apartment, and then she took me out to lunch at a Chinese restaurant. And as you can imagine, she knew how to order a Chinese feast. And we remained friends and pen pals after that. And one of the biggest gifts I gained from reading her book was an extra gratitude and appreciation for living in the United States as a free citizen. And by the time I met Nian, she had become a citizen here as well. And when I visited her, I saw on her apartment wall pictures of her taken right after she obtained citizenship. And she's holding up a little pair of American flags and just smiling with joy. So, an amazing woman. And now we're going to go and do our more joyful song. And we'd love, in the Pete Seeger tradition, if you could please participate with us. And so this was just a song written on a carefree afternoon on the back porch of where I used to live in New York, overlooking a creek, and near where Pete Seeger used to live. You know, it was about a half hour from Beacon in Pleasant Valley. And so in part of the song, we're going to do a call response. So I'll say something, and if you can say it right back, we'll see how strong your caffeine is this morning. So we'll do a little practice. I'll say, so happy, and you say?
So happy.
And we have to do it really fast. So happy.
So happy.
You're ready. Okay, and then we have a section that I call the hippie law section, and in that part, you're free to sing laws, improvise, dance, do whatever you want. Go as free as you'd like. Exactly. Yeah, I see you're ready.
Sometimes in the response section, I'll use a funny voice.
Then I have to try not to laugh.
But so in the course of a happy, normal life, when would be a good time to take advantage of it?
Right now,
which is the name of the song.
Thank you.
wish you could come with me to every concert. Thanks for that wonderful participation.
Is it time for that?
Yes, it's time for that. We're going to conclude now with a conclusion.
So, keeping it really short. So we still have a say in what the new normal ultimately is. We can continue to strive for improving the overall human condition of our citizens through unwavering protection of our principles and ideals. So stay warm, everyone. It's a nice day.
Yes, and you know, and if you feel like being active, stay active and be activists. Which I know there's a great history of the Unitarian Church being.
Well, we have a few minutes if someone would like to ask questions or make comments, and Kathy will come around with the microphones.
Well, Dave sings very well, actually. If you see a show, he does some singing too. But for me, singing, absolutely. I remember like that If I Had a Hammer was like amazing to me today to do that, because I never led a group doing it, amazingly enough. And I remember distinctly seeing that as a kid and other folk songs and just loving it. Absolutely loved to sing since I was a toddler. And then I picked up guitar around age 9. I started with piano. I was attracted to music, and if we went to someone's house, I'd like try to play their piano. And then I started taking lessons when I was 7. Honestly, didn't practice much. Then I picked up, I liked the guitar because it was portable and you could sing. So, and then I started playing the guitar and I was much more diligent. But I feel most comfortable singing and playing. Actually, I feel more comfortable than just playing. So definitely singing. How about you?
When I was young, I sang a fair amount. I used to, when I picked up the guitar, I started singing, and I learned Peter, Paul, and Mary, and that sort of thing. And I actually sang through high school and was in musicals, and I actually had a scholarship offer to get a degree in vocal music in college, but I didn't pursue it, and so I sort of quit singing over the years. And it wasn't until I met Helen, I hadn't been singing very much for 20 years, so she's encouraging me to sing a little bit of lead, and we're learning some harmony on some songs, and it's been fun. But I actually kind of find singing a little bit difficult because I'm sort of a tenor, but I don't know, you any tenors here? I mean, like, you know, you try to hit a G and then you get above that. It's kind of frustrating right now. There's a Brazilian opera singer staying with us, and he's what's called, is it a
counter tenor?
A counter tenor. So he's like a soprano.
Yeah.
So, and the house shakes when he sings, but I've been performing Brazilian music with him, and so it's fun to see a real singer. So, at any rate, so I sing some, but I'm more of a guitar player. It's funny because my great-grandmother was a member. I grew up in southern Ohio, kind of, my family came out of Kentucky, and she wanted me to be a Baptist minister when I was young. and those guys would be on the radio, and I can't imitate it anymore. The comedian Sam Kennison could really do it. But it's a constant tirade followed by breaths that were, ha, ha! And that didn't really quite appeal to me.
Yeah, we got some feedback. It is really disturbing to see that, and I felt like we'd made a lot of progress, you know, with all of that and legalizing gay marriage and, you know, there was, and civil rights seemed like something we kind of had gotten a lot further with.
Well, I just read a Buddhist saying that something along the lines of hatred cannot beat or conquer hatred, only love can conquer hatred. Mm-hmm. I thought that there's a lot of really cool Buddhist sayings out there.
Okay, one more question or comment.
Are we doing a show soon? You know, it's funny, we're playing in Mineral Point in the Grey Dog Deli, which isn't exactly Madison. I have a mailing list out in the lobby as well as CDs available for anyone interested. And so please, you're cordially invited to sign up for our email list. I send out monthly, and I would love to invite you to our concerts and let you know what we're doing. So thank you for that question. Hopefully we'll be back here for Make Music Madison, which we've done the last 2 years.
We may actually be organizing a house concert, maybe at our house or someplace.
Oh yeah, for the Brazilian
musician. Because our friend is going back to Brazil. And yes. So I play with some great Brazilian musicians, Robert Scoville, who started the Amphibians, and Antonio Sousa. And so we're going to have a house concert with Brazilian music. So if you're interested
perhaps
in that.
April 8th.
April 8th?
Hopefully, yeah, that's our
So Helen will, and that's open to the public on a first-come, first-served basis.
Probably. You need to make a reservation if we do it at our house. So anyway, yes, we probably will. So if you want to know more, please sign up for the mailing list, and I will promise to keep you informed. I also try to post it on my website, but sometimes I forget. So
if you don't know what
being on the mailing list is the best way.
If you don't know what Brazilian music is, I mean, it sort of sounds kind of...
Take courage, friends. The way is often hard. The path is never clear. And the stakes are very high. Take courage, for deep down there is another truth. You are not alone. So greet your neighbors. Stay for Soup Sunday.
Yes.